Hello everyone, I'm Barbara Eady from BarbaraEady.com, and today I'm speaking with Enid Butler, a Canadian grandmother and humanitarian who's part of an organization called Grands in More. It's a group dedicated to helping grandmothers in Africa care for children who've been orphaned by AIDS. Welcome, Enid.
Thank you.
Great, it's lovely to have you here today. And I would like to start, just for people who don't know about Grands and More, I know it's part of a bigger campaign, but if you can just tell us a little bit about the background, about how Grands and More got started.
Yes, definitely. Grands and More is part of a grandmothers to grandmothers campaign that is across Canada and supports the work of the Stephen Lewis Foundation. As the foundation supports projects in sub-Saharan Africa who are dealing with the ravages of the AIDS pandemic. Things for the grandmothers really started in 2006 when Stephen Lewis just threw an open invitation to Canadian grandmothers to come to Toronto to meet with African grandmothers and project people prior to the International AIDS Conference. I went to that gathering. It was certainly an eye-opening experience. I had no ties to Africa or no experience. I was a grandmother, and it just, I guess, Stephen Lewis inspired me to want to attend this. So it was a gathering where we got to hear the stories, to meet the grandmothers, to meet the project people, and to meet with other Canadian grandmothers who also were concerned about the situation in Africa. And the situation is such that there are 16 million children orphaned by the AIDS pandemic, and the grandmothers, in many instances, have had to step in to care for the children. And that struck a chord, I think, with Canadian grandmothers. And at the end of the conference, at the end of the meeting, we marched together, Canadian grandmothers and African grandmothers, to the opening of the International AIDS Conference and presented a document known as the Toronto Statement. And in that statement, the Canadian grandmothers promised that we would not rest until the African grandmothers could rest, and that we would be their voice until their voices could be heard. And that really kicked off the Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign. Presently, there are approximately 250 groups across the country who support the Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign, with the idea that money raised goes to projects that specifically have an impact on the grandmothers and the orphans. The projects are very diverse, of course, but the focus for us is grandmothers. In 2000, the gathering was in 2006, and in 2007, Grands and More was formed.
So, right, Grands and More is specifically a Winnipeg organization.
It's a Winnipeg group. It doesn't look like any other grandmother group,
right,
across the country, as is the way the campaign works.
So when you say there's 250 groups across Canada, do you know how many people that is? Like the group's different sizes, of course?
The groups are different sizes. We have probably about 150 members here in Winnipeg, but in some places there are five women. They're in, what's the name of the city? Or the town, actually, in rural Manitoba. There are five women. Portage has a group. Brandon has a group. And some large cities will have a number of small groups that come together periodically under an umbrella kind of a thing. Right. In Winnipeg, we have just been one group.
Right. So, and again, the reason the grandmothers are working with grandmothers specifically in Africa, again, is it's because of the Stephen Lewis connection, and that's who he was supporting.
In 2003... Well, prior to that, Stephen Lewis was the AIDS envoy to Africa, and so was very closely involved with what was happening, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. And in 2003, he decided to establish a foundation with the tagline, I guess, of easing the pain of HIV/AIDS in Africa. I think his belief was that with small infusions of cash, grassroots projects were the battle line, mm-hmm. and that they could be supported directly through his foundation, so that money, small infusions of cash, were getting to where it needed to be. I think as he did this and as he continued to work with the projects, he came to the realization that it was the grandmothers in many instances who were holding things together. They were caring for the children. They were acting as home care nurses. They were trying to be teachers. And they had no time themselves to mourn the death of their own children. And so I think that was the genesis of the Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign, with the idea that there were Canadian women, and I think it was a brilliant idea at a brilliant time, that there were Canadian women who would get that message, who would believe that they had something to offer and something in common.
Right, as grandmothers
as
themselves.
As grandmothers themselves.
Right. Right. So
you don't have to be a grandmother.
Okay.
You don't have to be a woman. Some groups, every group can do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to have men members and have had from the very beginning. Other groups would not have men members. Some groups would be grandmothers only. We've kind of taken the tack that everybody was a grandchild at some time in their lives, so it fits under the name and grands and more root for us. So that's what we have done.
That's true. If you're not a grandmother, at least at some point you've been a grandchild.
You've been a grandchild.
So you can relate to the children in Africa as well as the grandmothers taking care of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It must be an amazing struggle on so many levels.
It's very difficult. I think they don't realize how much the grandmothers have really had to struggle, because there's not necessarily property rights. So often if their husbands died or if the son of the family died, property went somewhere else, went
with
to the other family, went
hair,
through the males, and
lineage.
The grandmother might have been left with nothing except the children. And some pretty horrific
conditions.
Certainly not many countries have old age pensions or security. Those that do, if you have to walk to pick up your pension check and you miss it, you don't get it for that month. You know, it's just the systems are not the same as we're used to.
Right.
And these women are holding it together.
They're holding it together, and as Stephen Lewis said, they're really the unsung heroes.
That's right.
They've already cared for children. Now they're caring for the next generation.
Yeah.
So in terms of grants and more, what specifically do you do? I think you mentioned certain projects.
Yeah, we really have made a focus right from the very beginning, as most of the grandmother groups have done, that there was a responsibility to awareness, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the whole point is to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
But unless people understand the story, understand the horrific conditions, the numbers of children that are orphaned, the people that have died, the generations that are lost in some of these countries, the money doesn't come. So we try to speak to as many people as want to hear us. We try to be present at events that might catch people's interest, and so on. So awareness is a big part.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger part, of course, is fundraising, raising money. And we've done a pretty good job of that, I think. And groups across the country do a variety of different kinds of fundraising. We have an incredible bunch of women in this city who make purses. I don't know if you've had anything to do with grandmother's tote bags and purses, but we've raised probably $200,000 on items that are sold.
Wonderful.
And there are different kinds of projects that that we're involved in to raise money. Coming up is a Scrabble tournament this Saturday. And Scrabble has become something across the country that some groups have picked up. So Scrabble for Africa, and that's raised money. We hold potluck suppers four times a year. We've had about 25 of them. Where we try to have a speaker come in so that we're doing the awareness part of it, as well as we charge people $10 and they bring their own food. So it works very well. So we've consistently made money that way as a fundraiser and as a way to enlarge our message to people, because we've been very fortunate that churches and some community clubs have given us a space free of charge to have these potlucks. So we kind of move them around the city. Mm-hmm.
Great. So you've seen
Creative ways. People think of creative ways to raise money, and
So you've seen seen some results.
We've seen results in the grandmother campaign itself across the country. Even though we're not, we're not organizationally structured in a way that there's a system, but there certainly is communication, and there's been a walk for the last number of years. And that's raised $1 million across the country. I want to say, and I'm just afraid to say it, but I think the grandmother campaign has raised about $16 million across the country since it began. I think that's right.
Well, I'll check that.
Check that one, but I think that's correct. And in a variety of ways.
So the funds you raise here, do they all go to the Stephen Lewis Foundation?
They go directly to the foundation, and we trust them to allot those funds to
the grandmothers,
projects that need them at any particular time. And I think that the projects have a very sound relationship with the foundation, and the foundation has a very sound relationship with the projects. So there's a great deal of trust from the grandmothers in Canada. The money is going where it's supposed to go, when it's needed. And I think that's really very important. I know that obviously administrative costs go up for any foundation, and you have to spend money to raise money. But I think the foundation has a pretty lean lean budget, and I think because of the very close connection to the projects, the money gets where it needs to go when it needs it. And the African grandmothers, interestingly, even at the gathering, when we're talking about help, didn't want to be linked. They didn't want some projects to be linked to, say, Winnipeg, because maybe somebody else needed the money more. And they wanted to make sure that the grandmother that needed the money most was going to get it at any one time. So they were not looking for those personal links as much as this sense of belonging to this larger
organization,
this larger movement, being part of, I think, this whole grandmothers to grandmothers
movement. And how about for you personally? Why did you get involved?
Well, I think because probably because I was there at the meeting in the first place, and there was another person from Winnipeg who went as well, and we did try almost immediately to get a group going, and it wasn't going to work for us. But I really believed that Winnipeg had to do something. We had to be part of this. It would be, of course, the pull of Stephen Lewis. If you heard him speak, you don't not do what he says to do. You know, you're challenged to do that. And I think many people feel that way. So, and I'm a grandmother, and I have grandchildren who I love dearly. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in this circumstance. And I think I have a responsibility to those grandchildren that they learn that there's a bigger world that they're part of. So my grandchildren are 13, 12, and 8. They've each had their turns to help at potlucks, and they participate in the walk, and they know what I do and why I do it. And
so you're serving as a role model at the same time.
Well, not a role model as much as I think a push to say, look, you know, you got to look beyond the fact that you'd like to have this, but sometimes you don't get what you want, and you're pretty fortunate, you know? So I think that's a responsibility that many grandparents feel they have.
Great. And what have you learned by being part of Grands and More?
I am amazed at what people can do, the things that people come up with. As I say, I'm not the least creative. My ability is to speak, and I do speak. and try to establish a speaker's bureau. Mm-hmm. But I haven't got a crafty bone in my body. And I am amazed at the variety of skills that people bring and the variety of ideas. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody had the idea of what they call warm up Winnipeg. So all these people who knit donate these scarves. Somebody buys the scarf, but they don't get the scarf. Money goes to the foundation, and the scarf goes to Welcome Place for the refugees who are coming to Winnipeg who need scarves.
Oh,
so,
my.
I mean, they've expanded this grandmother campaign to raise money and have raised lots of money selling these scarves and taking them back and giving them to somebody else.
So it's like
it's a double whammy.
Sure. Double fundraiser.
So, the skills of people that come to this group and willing to try different things and crazy things. Mm-hmm. When I said that there was... awareness and fundraising were parts of Grands and More. The third part was this concern of being the voice for African grandmothers and the whole advocacy role. And there are some such skilled people and have learned such skills in the whole issues of advocacy since the campaign began. I don't know if you were aware, but there was a campaign to change what's called the Canadian Access to Medicines regime to allow the production of generic AIDS drugs, which would be sold to third world countries who need them. We have a law that allows it, but it's a very convoluted law. And the grandmothers across the country just rose up and said, this isn't right. There was 32,000 signatures on a petition that went to the government to change that bill, to make it work. And unfortunately, the government prorogued and the bill did not pass. So there was a second, it came back to the House. But again, the government defeated that bill. But in the process, Canadian grandmothers learned an awful lot about how to talk, how to advocate on behalf of others.
Right.
And so I think that is also something that has amazed me about the grandmother movement. I think that I've had the opportunity to meet and be involved with women who have just such skills in such a variety of areas. And you learn from that.
Right. And passion for, again, helping others, as you said, we're part of a bigger world.
Amazing. Now, many have been to Africa. Many have personal, many reasons why people belong. But I think overwhelming is the sense that this needs to be talked about. This situation in Africa is unbelievably bad, and we need to do something about it.
Right. Now, having been involved in part of a nonprofit organization, in terms of the bigger campaign and Stephen Lewis Foundation, do you have any advice or wisdom that you would share with others who might be considering getting involved in some sort of project or mission of their own? What would you say to people?
I think that starting any sort of organization and continuing to the struggle to keep an organization going today is very hard because people are more than willing to help, very difficult to find leaders. And I think all organizations are suffering from that today. At least I don't know very many who aren't, and I've done a lot of work in the not-for-profit sector. But I think you have to find somebody else to be passionate with you about it. You can rail against the world yourself, but if there is two of you, you can rail a lot louder. And I think that in many ways that's the key, that it's not so much leadership, it's encouraging everybody to let's follow together to go someplace. And that it be really personal, that it be really, I don't like to use the word soft sell or an easy sell, but it is. If you look at a story of an African grandmother, if you look at the story of a, of a child who has to walk 7 miles to go to school and then lives by himself in a dark hut until he can get up the next morning to come to school, you can't help but think you've got to do something about that.
And it's compelling. Stories are compelling.
Tell somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that story is not lost. And so I think that's it. I think you just have to talk, and I think you have to
tell the story
and get somebody else to believe in that story too.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say you can't do it alone.
Well, that's true.
Whatever
vision. I was very fortunate because there were a few of us who really wanted this to be more than it was looking like it might be in Winnipeg, and there were a few of us who really felt strongly that it had to go. And so, all right, we invent it.
Do you have a vision or a goal for Grands and More in Winnipeg? I know you've got the three levels, the awareness, the fundraising, the advocacy. But do you have a specific goal or vision for yourselves other than what's part of the Stephen Lewis Foundation's vision?
No, I think most of us just want to continue to make a difference and to celebrate. I mean, the African grandmothers have come so far. If you go back to the 2006 statement, which you can read, and they talked about being defeated and they were sad. They had much to be sad about. Though they were amazing because they would tell us their stories, and we would sing and dance, and we would hear more stories, and we would all cry. But in 2010, they had their own gathering in Swaziland, and they ran that gathering. They brought grandmothers from 13 countries, and they talked, and they made some demands, and they were talking as strong partners, and I think because they knew the Canadian grandmothers were there as their partners, not to tell them what to do. And I think that's probably the key to anything that you want to change. You might want to change it, but if the person that's doing it doesn't want to change, it isn't going to happen. And I think that's where the strength of the foundation is that these are all projects that were started not by the foundation. Mm. They're supported by the foundation. But before they're supported by the foundation, they had to have a very clear mandate. They had to have a clear success rate. They had to be in place themselves.
In Africa.
So there is nobody from Canada saying, in order for you to get your money, you have to do this. Yes. There's none of that at all. And I think that makes a huge difference in terms of trying to implement or to make change about anything, mm-hmm. is that it has to come from
that
from
community.
Where that change needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might look at it and say, oh gosh, it would be great if you got clean water in your community. And it would be. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's not the first thing that's needed here. Maybe it's this that's needed here, and the clean water will come after.
Right, and you have to get their investment.
It has to, absolutely.
Whether it's financially, their energy and their will. That's going to continue.
Absolutely.
It's a collaboration.
It's their projects. It's not ours.
Right.
And we're quite willing, I think, to support those and to celebrate the successes of those projects. The children who get to go to school, the children who get clean water, the children who have a roof over their heads.
Mm-hmm. And the grandmothers, stronger, as you said, stronger grandmothers,
yes.
with more hope and
well, and
more
the opportunity
leadership.
To be themselves too once in a while,
right.
Beyond being all of these other things that they have to be,
mm-hmm.
but to just be a grandmother with another grandmother,
mm-hmm.
and enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
So
wonderful. So where can people find out more about Grands and More and the grandmother campaign as a whole?
The whole thing has links through the StephenLewisFoundation.org,
okay.
GrandsAndMoreWinnipeg.org or com. You'd have to check that one. We have our own website. Obviously, I don't use it very often.
okay.
And so that's probably the best way. I mean, there's not an office. There's not a place they can contact people. You can certainly watch for events that we're having and support those. Mm-hmm. But I think best it for information to go to grandsandmore.com. I want to say.
Okay.
Say.com.
Grandsandmore.com or the Grandmothers Campaign.
Or the Grandmothers Campaign, Stephen Lewis. I think there's
Stephen
links
Lewis Foundation.
Either way. I think the Stephen Lewis Foundation through to the Grandmothers Campaign will take you through to Grands and More Winnipeg.
Right, and some of the other organizations across Canada.
All of them. Yeah, or we'll be listed on there. Yeah.
Great. Well, is there anything that you'd like to add that you'd like people to know about Grands and More or the Grandmothers Campaign as a whole? Or
probably tons. But I think I've given you a bit of at least a picture of why we do what we do and what we try to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell you that Grands and More meets once a month.
Mm-hmm.
We meet once a month, but we're just about finished for the year, you know, for the summer. We've been present at the Africa Pavilion, so if you're visiting Folklorama, you can usually find us there. I don't think so. I talked a little bit about advocacy, and I'm not a big part of the advocacy part of it. And what has happened really is that across Canada, there's now a group affiliated with the Grandmothers Campaign, but it is an advocacy network of its own, very involved with trying to make change to legislation that would help the grandmothers in Africa, called GRAMS. So I don't think there's anything else.
Okay.
Unless you have any other questions.
That wraps it up then. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time, Enid.
You're welcome.
That's great.
Thank you for being interested.
Okay.